And, of course, the first thing on the agenda, Fred.
Oh, crazy Fred, huh?
Yeah, oh, crazy Fred. Let's talk about that letter that you sent to the council that was discussed in great detail.
Well, let's divide it like we
was divided,
at the meeting the other night. Thank you to Chairman Redfern for agreeing with that. The medical marijuana, as I pointed out in my letter and as I spoke to you, you are not on that committee, but to the committee, I just think it's a moral imperative that if there is relief to be had by individuals who are suffering, and mostly, I guess, my limited knowledge is that it's people who are suffering with some form of cancer and all the related pains, if you will, that come along with that and being on chemotherapy.
It particularly works well, I understand, for people who are having treatment for cancer.
Right.
The treatment is as bad as the disease in the beginning.
Right. And so if the ingestion of marijuana smoke can alleviate some of the side effects of chemo or just having cancer, period, then why wouldn't we as a society allow for that? Now, Mayor Prejean told me that he believes that the reason that the governor vetoed the bill that came before him was he didn't like the distribution system.
Right.
And I don't know enough about it to argue one way or the other. But it seems to me that pharmacies keep all sorts of drugs that are not legally possessed without a prescription,
right,
that are otherwise harmful, done improperly. So why couldn't that occur for marijuana or at your local hospital? So the distribution system seems to me to be the least of it, but I think we ought to, if it works, then we ought to allow it. And my understanding is the ingestion of the smoke gets quicker into the bloodstream and does what people hope it will do than, let's say, taking a pill with the THC chemical.
It's very beneficial for nausea, I understand.
Yeah. So I was pleased, and even Councillor Greenwald, who just left us, said, he was quoted in the paper largely, that he agreed with me. He just doesn't see it as a council issue, so
right,
he voted against it for that reason,
right,
alone. The other four agreed that, and all I'm asking for is the council to send a resolution, their thoughts, to people up in Concord.
And
from,
we've done this many
times. You've
done
it on other matters,
right,
and that's why I don't agree with Councillor Greenwald on this particular issue, but that's okay. He and I are still friends.
Right. Right.
I think we, and maybe other communities would say, you know, Keene's right, and so they would send it. And then the issue is, I believe, coming up for an override vote, and it looks like the House has the votes. It's the Senate that doesn't. And Senator Kelly did call me the next day. She's a very busy lady, the day after the meeting. And she tells me that she voted for the medical marijuana. So it's not her mind that we need to change. But there are other senators out there in the state who need to have their minds changed, in my humble opinion.
357-1290, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Yes, I had a friend down in New York City, and she had Hodgkin's disease, and she was not alleviated from the nausea by, you know, the regular medications. And Sloan Kettering was able to dispense medical marijuana to her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and
and it worked.
And it worked.
Yes, that was the only thing that did work. And also, I'm a registered nurse. I worked at a large medical center down there on a neurosurgical unit. And when all the other drugs failed, the doctors were encouraging them to get marijuana on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it is, recognized in certain instances.
Do you live in Keene, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So the larger question, and for the other 10 counselors who were not on the committee that I addressed the other night, and Councillor Greenwald, who just left us, do you think that this is an issue that city government should be involved in terms of sending a resolution that they believe medical marijuana should be a law? Do you think that city government should be involved in that aspect?
Well, I think anybody can make that, suggestion. whether it be from a city government, whether it's an individual. I think, you know, people that have had experience and have a strong feeling for something should voice their opinion.
Well, I guess I would argue to you that if you do believe that the government, city government in this case, should express its collective opinion, and hopefully it would be that, yes, this should be legalized, that you would call your ward counselor, whatever ward you live in, you'd call your at-large counselors, and everybody else that's listening.
What ward do you live in, ma'am?
I live in Brighton Keene.
In Ward 5? And what ward, please?
Where? Oh, I live on Valley Street.
So that's Ward,
Ward 2.
So
yes.
Councillor Greenwald wants to be your counselor. Right now it's Councillor Phillips and Councillor Slack. Now, Councillor Slack voted in favor. She's on the committee. Councillor Phillips, I don't know where she stands on the matter. But you, I would urge you and all your, all everyone else, especially those who agree with me, God forbid, to call your respective counselors and say, look, I think this is something that the government should do, the city government.
Right.
Yeah, it does work, and, you know, people need to have an open mind, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your input this morning.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Okay. So
I've
said my piece with regard to the medical marijuana, and fortunately at the committee the other night, four of the five counselors agreed, and I'm hoping that that will carry through next week at the full city council and that some resolution will be forwarded to Concord.
One of the things I said at the meeting was that my daughter-in-law, medical marijuana is legal in Canada.
Yeah.
And everybody knows, have a son who lives in Canada. His wife is Canadian. And she had a bout with cancer a couple of years ago. And she used medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a big difference in her life while she was recuperating. And
so we can count you as a yes vote?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I've got five. I need three more.
Oh, I don't think there's going to be...
I think it's the less problematic. Yeah.
If this doesn't pass, the medical marijuana.
Now, but the more divisive...
Yes, the more divisive subject on
of my two requests was to decriminalize small amount possession of marijuana for personal consumption. Now, let me preface this by saying I don't condone usage of drugs, marijuana. I have never, ever used marijuana. And, you know, I served overseas a lot of years ago. I'm a child of the 60s, so to speak. I reached teenage years in the 60s, et cetera. Never used it. Always been afraid of the potential whatever is in it that I didn't know about. So I don't know what I'm talking about from that perspective.
Let's take a phone call.
Let's take a call.
357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, and I'm a child of the 60s also.
18? Oh, 19.
Bad.
Bad, Fred.
Fred.
Good morning, dear. How are you?
I'm all right.
You're looking lovely as always.
Oh, yes. Okay, just want to tell you, I have never continually smoked in my whole 63 years. And I still don't smoke. But I'll tell you, after having all the treatments I've had for my disease, I would learn how to smoke. I don't think I can, but if it was legal.
Okay, that's good to know.
Well, then I also encourage you to call your counselors, whoever they are. You're in one or two.
One.
Well, then call.
Because
your counselor voted against. No, he voted for the medical marijuana. He voted against the other part. But to call your other counselor and at large and give them your opinion.
I truly believe that it would work for some people.
Right.
Yeah, it's not 100% guarantee.
I mean, it doesn't cure them, but it does alleviate the side effects.
I understand all that. Only because for 3 years, I had chemo for male prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And I've had shots continually for 2.5 years, Bezaceron. There are a lot of things out there that other people claim work.
Mm-hmm.
And if they claim the medical marijuana works, I would be willing to agree.
Give it a try.
Give it a try.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
That's the way I feel.
Well, thank you. We have another caller, but thank you. Have a great day. Say hi to the old guy. 357-1290. Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Hi, you two.
Hello.
Hi. I'll say hi to the old guy before you tell me.
Oh, thank you.
But I wanted to weigh in. I think my concern with the medical marijuana, the government should not be involved with the care that doctors are providing or medical providers are providing. And so I would expand it. Why the heck is the government deciding that or any other issue, whether it's...
Can you identify yourself for everyone else, though?
Oh, sure. Paula Phillips.
City councilor?
Yes.
Ward 2?
Right. Well, 90 days and counting, I think.
So another vote, yes?
I'm not sure, and this is why I was going to individually, and I will bring the addresses for the other counselors to write to the state legislators. But then the more I think about it, is it should not be a government interference with people's medical care, just like I don't think abortion or prescribing narcotics. Why should the government be voting on this?
Perhaps you're correct, but right now the government is involved in precluding people from using it. And so if you
pass under a doctor's prescription,
even under, yeah, but you would be encouraging the law this to become law, so then that the government
that's
gets.
That's my point. It should not be a law.
Okay, in a perfect world, perhaps it shouldn't be, but the reality is
it is. And Cynthia heard the spiel last week was that. By smoking marijuana, it introduces a lot of carcinogenics. So, and I had a big discussion with someone that taking it vaporized, you know, whether you use a water pipe or something,
yeah,
is probably a safer delivery. But again, I don't think that for medicinal purposes that the government, and so maybe we should urge the state to just put this under a doctor or healthcare provider's purview, and we should stay out of it.
Well, let's crawl before we get up to a full gallop here.
I don't know. I find it interesting you're willing to do that, but then when it came to people's health about cigarettes, you didn't think it was government's. But
I think that's a market-driven situation, but that's another story.
So that's that. And in terms of the decriminalization, again, I would encourage people to write individually. I think it has as much clout, but I think it's unfair to counselors who cannot support that to say the council in Keene supports whether it's decriminalization, and to speak to for all of us as if we were unanimous. So
if it was a
unanimous vote, I would agree. If not, I think we as individuals should write and talk about that issue. And I certainly hope you would encourage, Fred, any law enforcement person to also write. I think it has much more persuasion in terms of who is actually dealing with the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. So,
okay.
Okay.
5 cents.
Say hi to Amber from Uncle Fred.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Paul.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hi. I wanted to ask Fred about the second measure that was proposed, because it sounds like medical marijuana is getting the bulk of the discussion here, but as I understand it, there was a provision to decriminalize possession of marijuana by recreational users, possession of small amounts. And I was wondering what the details, if that proposal got into specifics about the amounts or what the penalties should be.
No.
The short answer to both is no. No specifics, no what the penalty should be. Only my argument is, I think, charging an individual with a misdemeanor crime for possessing, and I know, trust me, caller, from personal experience, having arrested more than a handful of individuals over the years for such matters, that just a pipe with residue in it can be proved to be, you know, possession of marijuana and can carry a misdemeanor charge. And my argument now, as my hair grays, so does my thinking, that maybe that's a little bit of overkill. And couldn't we accomplish the same thing by charging such a specific instance, let's say like the residue in a pipe, charge them with a violation, as we do with alcohol, as we do with beer, and give them a fine, a substantial fine. And now if, you know, your traditional, typical 16, 17-year-old who's within eyesight of college and scholarships and the military and continued federal aid for college, all of those things, if they have a misdemeanor on their record, they have the great potential of losing all of that versus a violation which is akin to a speeding ticket or a stop sign or possession of a can of beer.
I would agree that it's a step in the right direction, but for people who are whatever the government sets as of age, possession of alcohol is not punishable by anything. So, I would argue that
that's my
alcohol
argument.
Is a more harmful substance if you're going to talk about the social harm and the physical harm caused by the drug. It seems more harmful to me than marijuana.
I tend to agree with you all these many years later. It certainly harms society in a much greater proportion, alcohol consumption.
Right.
Not on an individual basis, not you, not me, not Cynthia, but collectively as a society, alcohol harms us greatly.
But do you think at this point, either of you, that marijuana, alcohol is accepted? I mean, it's, let's go somewhere and have
mm-hmm.
a drink.
Socially acceptable.
It's very socially acceptable where marijuana is not, and among the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And so that keeps the use of it down. And I'm not saying that I don't approve of this change, because I think I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Decriminalizing small amounts, but mm-hmm. do you think that one of the maybe unintended consequences would be that small amounts of marijuana will become more acceptable? And is there a downside to that?
One might argue, the caller might know better than I do. I'm sure somebody will argue, it's called a gateway drug in some circles, and maybe this is the door to the gate. You're opening it up, but I think we can accomplish the same goals of finding someone, trying to change their behavior, and maybe making them go to some counseling or something with a violation as we can with a misdemeanor. I think we can get to the same end result.
Good idea.
And I would interject that marijuana use, I don't know how socially unacceptable it is, but the legal status seems to keep it under wraps. People aren't going to openly...
Because it's illegal, therefore it's not accepted.
I don't think that equates to harm reduction. Keeping the drug use out of sight, it often pushes people who are using marijuana to associate with people who are perhaps using or dealing harder drugs. It pushes people towards exploring other drugs. And I think if there is a real gateway effect, that prohibition is largely what is causing that. Most studies have shown that marijuana itself, there's nothing about the drug itself that chemically right. causes people to use other drugs. But people are predisposed, if they're going to experiment with one drug, they're already more likely to be the type of person who's
right.
going to consider right. experimenting with other
right.
drugs.
If you have an addictive personality, alcohol will get you there just as quickly as marijuana.
Right.
All right. Thank you, caller. Have a great day. 357-1290. Good morning, caller. You are now on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, I agree with everything the former caller just said.
Oh, okay.
And I just would like to add that marijuana is accepted by society. Take a look at how much money is spent on marijuana, and maybe it's not us... I was going to say an F word, but not that word. old people.
Bada boom.
That maybe we're not so acculturated, but the baby boomer generation and on down has accepted marijuana, and it's pervasive. And maybe it's illegal, but it is pervasive and it is accepted, and so therefore. But I'd like to change that topic back to the other topic and get into between our family feud that's going on.
I was wondering if you were going to call your local counselor.
Yeah, you heard the other part of it.
Yeah.
Now my part. I agree with the city council making statements even though they don't have any jurisdiction. And the reason is that the more influential people make a statement, the more clout it has and the more ripple effect it has, and people pay more attention to that. So and I have a disease that that medical marijuana could help for. I don't think it could help me right now, but in the future it might. And so if Mitch Greenwald wants to not vote for it, I mean, that could be one small voice to prevent me from getting the help that I need at some point in the future. So I would hope he's listening and would reconsider that. I think the more influential people make a statement that the more clout collectively that it could have, eventually, you know, and moving the legislators in the right direction.
Right.
Good point.
I agree.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's Sam from freekeen.com.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I heard, I think it was one of the city councilors on that was talking about the medical marijuana. Is that correct? A female caller?
Yes, that would be correct.
That would be
Who
Paula.
Was that?
That was Paula Phillips.
Oh, Paula. Okay.
I believe she's your counselor.
Well, I don't think I really have a counselor, but I thought it was just incredibly ironic that she kind of has a problem with the city council unanimously or voting to send a letter that says we, the city of Keene, all feel that, you know, such issues should be handled this way. You know, in this case, it's medical marijuana, and that she's a little uncomfortable with that and doesn't like the fact that, you know, the city council would be speaking on her behalf and representing her, but yet she does the exact same thing to all of her constituents who clearly you can't represent two people in the same room on every issue. You know, we can only represent ourselves, and she doesn't see the hypocrisy of her argument.
But it is the way it is, and until the law is changed, it is the way that it will be.
Right.
Whether it's right or wrong, it is, and so you have to try to affect change from within, not by standing outside and throwing stones.
And
well, you say that, Fred, but...
I do say that, and I believe it.
Sorry, Cynthia, I didn't want to interrupt you.
I'll do it.
I was going to say, as a counselor, I have my own opinion about things.
Uh-huh.
And get information that a lot of people don't get because, you know, things that are discussed at committees and things like that. But if I get an overwhelming number of phone calls from people...
Four or more.
Well, I was going to say, you know, six, then I will think that that must mean that there's... or that there people like that thing or they don't like that thing, and so I have to take a look at how to do it. My former co-host, Tim Robertson, who's been a state legislator for years and a good one, used to say that he was elected by the people to use his own brain and to do what he thought was best, and that's what he was, and that's what he would do. And many people feel like that, that are elected officials. Okay, but I do not. I mean, I am willing to have my mind changed if enough people contact me about it, and it doesn't have to be a lot of people.
All right. Well, we do have another caller. Thank you for your input this morning.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey. Good morning, guys. It's Ian from freekeen.com.
Hi. You got your skateboard?
Oh, I don't do that stuff. I never was into that. So.
not athletically inclined.
You know, not really.
Okay.
More the verbal gymnastics.
More of a computer geek. I think I did gymnastics when I was in fifth grade, so it would have been a long time ago.
I can't picture you in a tutu.
That's ballet.
Oh, okay.
I think it was a pair of shorts at the time.
Alrighty.
But the reason I'm calling is, well, I did want to talk about the skateboard thing, but I just want to congratulate you, Fred, for what you did with the, I guess it wasn't the city council, it was one of the subcommittees this week. With the
right.
Yeah, but don't ruin it, Ian.
Don't ruin it.
Yeah, because if people think that you and I are on the same team, they're going to question my mentality.
What would make them think that?
God knows.
So just congratulations for coming out and in favor of marijuana decriminalization. Very sensible thing. Now, in regards to the young folks hanging out, as you're talking about, I think that if young people weren't treated like children, they wouldn't act like children as much. I mean, if society gave them the opportunity, and by society I mean government, gave them the opportunity to grow up when they were ready to grow up, because a lot of young people want to grow up. They really are excited about that sort of thing. But when they go and they try to get a job, for instance, they're told, oh, sorry, you're too young. You know, the federal laws or whatever state law won't allow us to hire you, or you can't work from this time to this time. So I guess you're just going to have to find something else to do, which means that, you know, they don't really have anything else to do, so you see what you kind of get what you get. Not to say that would go away completely in the absence of such government controls, but I think that we live in this kind of society where young people are treated like children, in some cases all the way up through college years. I mean, it's kind of sick, don't you think?
Well, I guess it depends. I, you know, as a mother, I'm trying to look back and remember if I treated my kids like children long after they shouldn't have been, and I'd like to think I didn't, but they probably will tell you I did, so.
I think it's institutionalized to some extent today, where there's just a general concept that you haven't really grown up until you're out of college, and I think it's, you know, a reality.
Even then, that's iffy. Even then, that's iffy.
Well, you know, and I think that's because they're prevented from kind of getting into the real world. When I turned 16, I went out and I got, you know, I started working, and I have to say that was the best thing that could have happened for me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Was, you know, it allowed me to socialize appropriately instead of this kind of institutionalized environment called a school where you're held for 8 hours a day with people who are all your same age. You don't get to interact with adults except teachers, and that's kind of an authoritarian interaction in many cases. So you're not interacting on a kind of a regular basis.
But on the other side of that, on the other side of that coin, I grew up, I went to public school, and I think I turned out pretty well. And
I'm not
perfect,
saying that,
but,
well, hold on a second, Fred. I'm not saying that everybody who's hanging out at the, you know, the skate park is going to turn out poorly. I'm sure that eventually they'll grow up and, you know, move on and find something else to do. Not that there's anything wrong with enjoying yourself if that's what they're doing.
Well, but, urinating in front of women and children and cursing in front of women and children and other types of antisocial behaviors.
Throwing their garbage over the fence into the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, that's probably not a good thing.
Right. Yeah, these are people that don't have anything better to do. And so I think that if they had something better to do...
And don't have a lot of respect for other people.
Maybe. Well, you know, they're teenagers. I don't know how you fix that problem.
Well, you see, you're characterizing them with a very broad brush.
I think there's more than teenagers. I think there's also some young 20s.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Yeah, so. Well, that's what I'm saying. People in their young 20s these days act like teenagers because they're kind of babied. You know, they're treated like very young children for an extended period of time, and I think that's damaging. Whereas, you know, back when people used to live 35 years, they were getting married at age 13 and age, you know, 14, that sort of thing. They're having children back then. I'm not saying that's appropriate for our society today, but I think that there's a reason for that, and I think it's because there's this sort of childification of America, and then things get worse when you've got these young children, late 20s that are acting like children, actually knocking each other up and having their own children. So they've not even yet had a chance to find themselves and to know themselves, and they're already trying to bring somebody up. Anyway,
babies having babies.
To this, right. Besides just letting them grow up earlier.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning. I'm curious, what are the current laws restricting kids from working? I mean, is there...
There must be some federal labor laws,
yeah,
no?
I think you have to be 16 and you can, I believe, work at maybe 14 or 15 with a permit.
Okay.
And you have to have working papers, per se?
Yeah, you have to have working papers if you are... I don't know if it's changed and since I was a kid or not. Probably everything has, but...
I was just... intrigued to hear somebody wax about those halcyon days of child labor, you know.
Is this the smarmy Dartmouth professor?
I guess I must be smarmy. I mean,
that's how you're referred to often.
No.
Well, I didn't make it up. I don't even know what it means. At least I'm honest, huh?
Yeah, there you go. Oh.
Call my show and get insulted.
That's perfectly fine. But we know that the market will take care of everything because people won't buy products from companies that employ child labor.
Oh, you know that, huh?
Right.
Yes, we know that because people will be outraged and the market will solve everything.
Yeah.
We don't need those federal laws that prevent kids from being exploited, right?
He said somewhat facetiously.
Smartly.
It was that word again.
I don't know if that's a word, but
yeah.
I
know it's wishful thinking on behalf of that caller and Mary Poppins like. I think that's a phrase you've used in the past.
I guess maybe I have. But Mary Poppins wasn't smarmy. She was. I mean, everybody loved Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
I never thought of her as smarmy.
And she could fly that, too.
Yeah, well, I think it is just really great to think about a halcyon past that never existed.
Yeah.
Well,
in
I
which,
think that...
you know, in which all problems, or most problems, shall we say, just, you know, they weren't around. And, yeah, it was really, I mean, did child labor abuses ever happen? I think they actually did. I think those laws by the so-called heavy hand of government, actually, it wasn't just that they dropped out of the sky. It was a response to an actual situation.
Sure, sure. And a lot of it came way back when with the laissez-faire economic model. Children were being abused, and people started to demand some regulations. Hard to imagine.
Abused for the sake of profit?
Can you imagine that?
You have such a dim view
you know,
of human character.
I must tell you, however, I do agree partially with that particular caller in that I think we are keeping our, how am I going to say this properly, keeping our children from growing up and maturing perhaps as they might have 50 years ago. For whatever the reasons are, children, it seems to me, while they think they're more mature nowadays at age, you name the age, 17, 18, I don't believe they are.
I think we pamper them.
Let me ask you this. Do you find any irony in that particular caller waxing philosophical about the issue of maturity?
Well, I've been heard to refer to him and others as the Mickey Mouse Club. Bunch of kids having fun.
I take your point. I actually think that one of his points he made I would agree with. I think there is a utility in kids getting out in the world and working, and I think it can be done. But I do think that there's a place for government regulation to make sure it's not abused. That's
right.
All.
Absolutely.
Right.
We would agree on that.
I smarmily sign off.
It's everybody's running to their dictionary.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank you.